Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Nathan Cromley, part one. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Father Nathan Cromley. He is the founder of the St. John Institute. He's written a new book, Coached by Paul the Apostle. It's a book on leadership. We've done two shows with him, and this is the first show we're showing you tonight.
And it's an episode you don't want to miss. I think Father Cromley has a lot of great insights about perseverance, overcoming discouragement, you know, a lot of the adversity that we can face as a Christian through the example of St. Paul. So there's a lot of wisdom that he's really put into a lot of his work and research. And I think his prayer life as well shows a lot through this. And we're now going to a reflection with Father Cromley.
Hi, this is Father Nathan Cromley, the president of St. John Institute. And I wrote a book about St. Paul called Coached by Paul the Apostle. And I'm really excited about this book because as I talk about this and do my work at the St. John Institute, I'm constantly touched by people who have a past. And they feel like their past will determine their future, right? And I love to think about this line and remember that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. You say, well, how do we know that? That's the life of St. Paul. His past was a heavy, heavy weight on his soul. He goes to confession at least three times. He talks about it in his letters. He's like, I persecuted that way. He's always aware of the damage that he did. But the thing that's unique about Paul is that he doesn't let that past determine his future. Almost to say like, I can never therefore escape what I did, so my future is bleak. No, that he teaches us to have confidence in the mercy of Jesus. And that means for him to courageously face the damage he did, to look at the past and admit it, yep, to be humble in front of it, yep, humble enough to love as he goes forward with a new love, to live with a new life, to let Jesus literally take a hold of him. This is what he tells us in Galatians. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And now he gives a witness to Jesus that the world really needs. Why doesn't Jesus take away your past? It's because he wants to write your future. Don't give up hope. Let the love and the mercy of Jesus set you free, just like St. Paul.
Father Nathan, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Hey, glad to be here.
And again, you've come out with a new book, Coached by Paul the Apostle, Lessons in Transformation, about a year ago, I guess,
yep.
Came out. And first I wanted to ask you, so it's about leadership and what Paul teaches us, but you obviously have a great love for St. Paul. It comes through in the book. Why is that? Tell us about St. Paul and why do you love him so much?
I think in a way, anyone who's engaged in evangelization is akin to St. Paul, mm-hmm. because you're trying to go out from right. comfort and into a spot where it's just not comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's like where no priest has gone before, you know,
right.
To reach people who are far away. Mm-hmm. And that experience that I've had as an evangelizer, as a priest trying to do that for our culture, for our people today, plus me. Me resonate with the very first one who tried it there was St. Paul.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of us, anytime you try to make a change, you're going to find yourself in a position of leadership. Leadership is the management of change. Mm-hmm. So if you're responsible for change in any way, from parenting to, you know, being in a relationship, if you're like, I want to see something happen that does not yet exist, you mm-hmm. find yourself in leadership. Well, St. Paul, is his whole life is doing that. And it's almost as if in his life, you can read the leadership lessons that the Holy Spirit wants to give to each one of us as we do what he did.
Mm-hmm. And my impression of him is always that he was just a strong personality, was a leader against Christ, and then encountered him and for Christ. How do you see him? Like, because there's also this great tenderness in the letters. Like, there's tears of shed by him and others, you know, at different points as he's leaving communities or writing communities. And how do you see him? Do you see him as a real strong, kind of tough guy, or?
You know, when you read closely, I think his own description of himself is the best, where he said, I am a pottery vessel that holds a golden treasure, or you know, treasure in a vessel of clay. And I really think that that's Paul, because on the one hand, he's a man of a lot of weaknesses. For example, when he preached, he put a person to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not, obviously it's not the only thing that happened when he preached, but at least once someone fell asleep with him. And he said, when I'm in your midst, you don't think I'm much, but then when I write, my strength comes out, you right. know? He had a fragility of being always on the first one to come to a scene and a place. And his temperament was very strong. To the point where I kind of always marvel at this, St. Peter in the New Testament actually says that understanding the letters of St. Paul is hard. So like, can you imagine, and that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So even the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, he's not the best writer. But like, you know, even though, but with all that he went through, Paul never quit. That's the strength of him. I mean, he was imprisoned for years. One time, I mean, in Jerusalem, they didn't even give him a charge. He was waiting to be indicted for years, alone.
Like 5 years, right?
Five points. Yeah, right. Yeah. He walked over 10,000 miles. Mm-hmm. He's visited something like 47 different cities in the New Testament alone. 28 communities were founded by him. And this is in like a 30-year stretch. Mm-hmm. So he was beaten by rods, scourged by whips. Constantly, he didn't stop in the cold, in the heat. And when I went to Greece in the footsteps of St. Paul, I noticed that there are mosquitoes. It's a small little detail, but going through mosquitoes is not a lot of fun, you know? And so you have this kind of juxtaposition in him that makes him very attractive. Mm-hmm. If you read the Acts of the Apostles attentive to all the places where you see him weak, you find him someone we can really approach in our own weakness. In order, though, you also see then the treasure, which is the strength that he exudes.
Right. Your shipwreck, spent the night at sea. So add that to the list three times. And but you write too about that famous passage about the thorn in the flesh that was given to him. And we don't know what that thorn is, but we all have an opinion. What's your opinion? I know he talks a lot about the flesh and how we do what we don't want to do. There's this war in our members and things that are against the spirit, I guess you'd say. And do you leave it?
Of course, I leave that unknown. Yeah. It's in chapter 3 of my book. But in my opinion, it's just mine. Mm. I think it's his past. Mm. I think it's the fact that he cannot shake off what he has done.
Yeah.
And that constantly comes back, because at least three times, I counted three in his letters, he basically goes to confession. He's thinking about it constantly, right, what his past was. And anyone who has a sinful past knows the weight of that. And you wish you could just change it, redo it. But God doesn't let him or us redo it for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's because in that weakness, we can find his strength.
Right.
And that's the whole secret. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that Paul puts that out there. And in chapter 3 of my book, I say that's the secret behind everything that he did.
Yeah. And you write beautifully about that, how God can use our gifts and talents and our weaknesses, you know, to make us a gift for others, to make us a blessing for others. And I think we all want to hear that we think, okay, these areas God can't use, right? But if I'm humble, God can use them, right?
Humility allows us to get out of our own way. That's the beautiful grace that God gives us when we're humble. It's almost the open door for love. Because when you're humble, it's not about you, right? So when you look at Paul's life, he even says this, right? The life that I live in the flesh is nothing. Right. In 1 Corinthians 15, he speaks about it almost like, I wish I could get out of this tent that I'm in. Mm-hmm. Right. Because it's the life of us in our sins doesn't define us and who we really are. What Paul invites us to do is, by recognizing that we are a mess of ourselves, we then throw ourselves upon the Savior. And we live his life and his life through us. And then we become this marvelous gift to other people. So that The doorway of humility allows us to get out of our way and let the love of Christ flow through us like he did.
Yeah. I often like to preach about those earthenware vessels, you know, that we are, that carries us precious treasures, that the cracks in these pots, right, that grace can get out of them, flow out of them, you know, that's been given to us, you know, we can share.
The secret is to not quit.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest thing for us, because what we want to say is, oh, since I'm not perfect, I'm not the perfect mom, therefore I'm a bad mom. Mm-hmm. I'm not the perfect priest, therefore I'm a bad priest. Like, mm-hmm. wait, stop for a second. Like, where you stop, Jesus can start. How yeah. about that? What if instead you said, I'm not the perfect dad, I'm not the perfect friend, and yet I'm not going to quit. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, Jesus, I need you. Mm-hmm. I go back to you. If I'm not quitting, I'm not paralyzed by my fears, whatever they are, well, then Jesus can do his marvelous work through me.
Yeah.
The secret is courage.
Right.
That's the secret to St. Paul's whole spirituality.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back on that point. So we'll be back in just a minute. So we were talking about the heart as being, you write, it's the core of the leadership question. It's the seat of the soul, the center of the person, our spiritual strength that allows us to persevere through these fears and everything we have. And fear is so big, right? It's the most common command of Christ in the Gospels, do not be afraid. But how do we change that heart? How do we fill it with courage?
the heart is really a question of identity when it comes down to it. And I don't want to go a little bit too deep into philosophy with this, mm-hmm. but when you think about the fact that each one of us is a unique reflection of God, mm-hmm. and each one of us, therefore, when we influence the world, we bring God into the world through ourselves. That means that the meeting point of like our impact for God or our failure is going to depend on whether or not we let our hearts be free. Mm-hmm. Person who's let their hearts be free, suddenly they give themselves, they impact the world, they change the world, they come up with ideas, they make decisions, they lead because they're unafraid of being who they are. They give themselves to the world and they impact it for Christ. And what evil wants to do is through fear, tell us that your heart is bad, your identity is bad, mm-hmm. that what God made you should not be shining in the world.
Right.
And so the real question where Christ becomes real for our lives is, will I be willing to face my fears with Jesus? Mm-hmm. If I am, then suddenly Jesus in his strength will allow my light to shine and his light to shine through me into this world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a question of heart.
Yeah, I had a priest tell me one time, he said, well, it was about preaching. He said, you know, all you can be is yourself, right? Sometimes we're afraid like to really put ourselves up there, you know, and when we preach and everything, we're preaching the gospel, but it's a reflection on ourselves, you know, how we say it, our emphasis and things like that. But that kind of gave me some peace. I mean, that's really the only thing, at the end of the day, that's all I can do, right?
And that's all any one of us needs to do. That's the beautiful thing. When it comes to God, he made you.
Mm-hmm.
And he made each one of our souls absolutely beautiful and in his image and likeness. And like a diamond has many lights that glint off of it. So each one of us is a little reflection, a shimmer of the light of God in a unique and irreplaceable way. Well, as soon as you see that, then you can say, well, then God wants to shine his light through me. I need to let my light shine,
mm-hmm.
which means I need to love that heart of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to embrace it as God's gift to the world. And so you can see right away where, well, our sinfulness or our past or our failures suddenly come to haunt us and we say, my heart isn't worthy of being given anymore. No one will like it or you know, it's just not worth it or whatever kind of excuse we come up with. St. Paul reveals to us how to keep going with heart. I think he's the saint of heart mm-hmm. because at the end of it, that's what enabled him to persevere through all of this was that God loved him. God claimed him. He was answering God and answering to God. And that gives him an irresistible strength.
Hmm. And are you, like, in taking off that like being real with ourselves and with others, are you talking about like being free of detachments, sins, attachments, and being free of all that stuff to be able to?
Even more is that, of course, but it's even more to allow yourself to fall in love. Allow yourself to fall in love with God, with the excellent things, with the ideal that He's given us, the beauty of the gospel. Mm-hmm. To be enamored with God allows you to then express what He's given you inside.
Right.
Our identities shine the more brilliantly the more we're in love. The more someone's, their uniqueness comes out. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see in St. Paul. He was different from Peter, different from Matthew, different from John. Each one of them expressed that passion of love in a unique way. And it's the same with us.
How did Paul get there, you think? I mean, he had the encounter on the road, knocked him to the ground, the bright light, and then the times of prayer and fellowship with other disciples. Is all that stewed into the pot there?
And his suffering. And I think in a real way, when Ananias comes and lays his hands on St. Paul, and he said, Lord, this man persecuted these Christians, you know, in the way. And Jesus says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And that's the only thing he really talks about, the whole vocation of Paul, is that I will show him how much he must suffer. I think in all of the sufferings of Paul, an intimacy with Christ was worked that was so profound that Paul only answered to him. And therefore, his love for him was the power and the strength that drove him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very similar with us, Father. We run for so many different things. Whatever will allow you to love freely is what we should embrace. Mm-hmm. And whatever will take away that love, we should get rid of. But the love of our souls, that's where we're both mostly the most ourselves and the most the instrument of God.
And I guess that suffering is stripping away our securities, our dependencies on other things but God, right? It really forces us to rely on God, right? To be changed, to have His power working in
us. Both suffering, and I would also add to that solitude, because St. Paul embraced being alone on the road and alone in his suffering and alone in so many ways. And that solitude would left him one-on-one with Christ. Like, I love to imagine him in the prison of Jerusalem. I mean, at least 3 years he's there, and he's on the Mediterranean coast. It would have been humid. It would have been freezing in his prison cell. He doesn't have an indictment, doesn't have a charge, and he's all by himself. Yeah. Well, he wasn't alone. He was with the Lord.
Right.
But in that experience of solitude with the Lord, Paul realizes everything else in life will betray him. Only Jesus will be the rock. And because of that, no one else can ever match his love. Yeah. So Paul is able to give the depths of himself with all of his life and all of his intensity because he's embraced the solitude of Christ, who alone loves him unto death.
Right. And maybe too, like, all the sufferings came upon him because he was moving forward with Christ. You quote St. Junipero Serra about forward, always forward, you know, that we can almost discover God's will, taking that first step and getting moving, right? His will becomes more clear to us.
Well, you know, and I base that out of Acts chapter 16, when Paul begins his second missionary journey. And at three different spots, it says he tried to preach there, but the Holy Spirit prevented him. Then he wanted to go here, and Jesus refused to allow him to preach there, so to speak, you know. Then he goes finally to Troas, and he's not even supposed to be in Troas. He gets a vision saying, come to Greece, right? Yeah. And I think that's such an image of our own life. We usually want to have God's will and then execute it. But what God wants us to do is try and let Him lead us even through failures.
Right.
And it's such a relief when you see St. Paul doing the same thing. He literally says, I'm going to go here, goes there, and then the Holy Spirit says, no, you shouldn't be here. You should be over there. It sounds like our own life.
We have just a minute left. I want to set up the next show we're going to do with you. And this is a book about leadership. Why did you use that word, leadership?
Because I think it's what the church is supposed to give to the world. Mm-hmm. If the church produces saints, and saints are men and women who shine the light of Christ in the world, well, then we're men and women of impact. Well, if you're men and women of impact, then you're a person of leadership. So leadership is another word for a Christian being a Christian in the world today. And I love to look at it from that aspect, because it's a refreshing way for us to approach our Christian life. Mm-hmm. My Christian life following Christ is a life where I'm supposed to be leading the world.
Mm-hmm. Father Nathan, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we're going to do a second show with you, so I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Well, Brother John, I enjoyed our conversation there with Father Nathan. What struck you?
Well, there's a lot, I think, to unpackage with this episode. But one of the things that I kind of like about it is that we see St. Paul as a model of somebody who's really combating, I think, a lot of spiritual sloth, particularly in the form of maybe discouragement, of being that model of perseverance. Because it's so easy to kind of be on the track and then get sidetracked or whatever. We grow weary at times or fatigued. But, you know, his faith and what he was motivated by, as Father Cromley talked about, you know, that love of Christ propelled him to move forward. And I think that's something we really often have to reclaim, is really being grounded in that love of Christ. And I think, again, if we go back, you know, to spiritual sloth, St. Thomas Aquinas defines it as the sin against the joy that springs from charity. Right. And I think if we just kind of analyze too about maybe our love for God, maybe it is at a weak point, a low point, but we just need to be open to God, as St. Paul was, to those graces. And that, again, you know, he's a model for many things of maybe fear, of failure, of those things that maybe accompany us on the Christian walk. And again, St. Paul wasn't just this perfect person, a perfect saint, you know, but he was somebody that was very attentive to our Lord, that imitated, that loved him greatly. And I think that's just a very powerful message.
Yeah, I don't think we mentioned it, but he talked about in the book too, about when we take on a leadership role, it's like all of a sudden then we realize a lot of our weaknesses and faults, our vulnerabilities, and just how much in need of Christ we are, and you know, just how much our hearts need to be purified, about how much pride, how much vanity, how much self-seeking is in there. And I thought that was a great point, because if Paul is so active and writing, you know, so many books of the New Testament, you know, he's got to encounter all this stuff. So his spirituality is addressing these issues that we all have to address in our life. And I love Father Nathan's point about, you know, just don't give up.
Yeah, and I think too, a powerful point for me was y'all were talking about the thorn in the flesh. And I liked Father Cromley's, I think, opinion or interpretation on the matter, that he's reflecting on St. Paul's past. And I think, you know, the question, you know, am I worthy? You know, I'm not a worthy person.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I think there's some, maybe a guilt trip or maybe a sense of shame that accompanies that, you know, we can see ourselves, oh, I'm a fraud or something.
Right.
But, you know, that's a fear we have to put aside and allow, again, God's grace to work in our lives.
We're not the message, we're the mailman.
That's right.
We'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He send His Holy Spirit into your heart to strengthen you, to grant you courage, to grant you perseverance. And may God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. Your love will make
you are, Jesus.